Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your host Taylor B and the Bagels.
Hello!
And our very, very special guest, Danfinity.
Hi! Hello!
Yes, thank you.
Hi, I'm Dan.
Very happy to have you here with us this evening. So just a little quick housekeeping. If you haven't listened to us before, we are a little bit of an advanced session podcast in that we don't really teach 100% on the topics that we're talking about. However, we are not exclusive about this. If you have any questions about anything we're talking about, we're happy to either explain, give you direction, or help you figure it out. So if you're a little new, if you're a little fuzzy on some of the lore that we're talking about, like, we might not cover it 100% in the recording, but like, we're here for you. We want to make it so you can enjoy it. Aside from that, I think we're ready to introduce this week's topic, so I can take the reins of this. The topic this week is Road Rage connected to Savathun's Song? Road Rage is an adventure you can play on Io, and the crux of it is that you run around using old Cabal tech, leftover Cabal tech, because they were there, but they're not there anymore on Io, and you're trying to stop a Vex incursion against Rasputin. Now, in the middle of this adventure, the Taken show up. The Taken show up, and they're fighting against the Vex. It's one of those fun things I love in this game where you've run in on two factions that might be fighting against each other, and then as soon as you show up, they all like settle their differences and start attacking you as a group.
They're just sitting there like, oh wait, hold on, there's that guy. Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, cool. Yeah. No. I feel like we've unified so many different species here in the solar system across the different D1 games.
Yeah. As soon as we show up, too, it's just.
Yeah. It's like, stop what they're doing. They're like, okay, you have my back shield guy. All right. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot this other.
Cool.
And it's so the there's always that. But the overall crux of the theory is that Savathun, as we are later revealed from, if we go as a chronological release of content, is later revealed in Festering Core from release of this adventure as being in control of the Taken. And so the crux of the theory is that Savathun's Song is her diving into the archaeology on Titan, finding, it's never really explained what, but they find something, her hive do, there are no Taken in this strike, her hive finds something that allows them to collect Guardian light and convert Guardians into these crystals that they can use to power various nefarious things.
And it's thought that maybe there were no even there's a theory out there thinking that there's not even Guardians there at all, that because she's kind of like a trickster god.
Yep. I've come across this as well, where the she's basically being a siren. She's summoning in Guardians.
We never actually spoke to Takeo 4. We spoke to Savathun.
Exactly.
And I think this fits perfectly. I think this fits perfectly because at the end of the day, what she's doing is sizing up humanity's current defenses. On Io, when you go back to various quests and adventures like Dynasty or the Festering Core Strike, you learn that Savathun, or at least the Taken, her arm that are the Taken, are collecting Vex. We learn that they're amassing an army, like Akora says this on audio like several times. And so the whole idea is this is all interconnected into her grand tapestry of attacking humanity. And so all things are connected. If you look at her amassing weapons and you look at her shifting over to Titan, amassing weaknesses, this is all part and parcel, because even, and I'm really a fan of this theory, but even if it's true, and that's just, you know, just for sake of argument, She's testing us out. She's figuring out our possibilities, our limits. And so if and when, and I don't think she'll ever be a direct. I mean, I realize that that's
Do
a
you
little
think
bit hella set it up, but I don't think
Oh,
I don't think
wow.
she'll ever be a direct enemy. I think she would
Correct.
misdirect just because her tithe is based on secrets.
Right.
So if things go right, like when she attacks, we should ne have no idea that it's her for her to be most successful, even if the attack isn't.
Yeah, my impression is that she is not like Oryx whatsoever, or Zeebo or Wrath for that matter, and that she will not attempt a direct confrontation as long as she can avoid it. She
Well,
will, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm very interested in how Zebra Wrath ends up c being brought up, because I think we've had ever since I know there's more than one Book of Sorrows, but we only have the one really that we get to read, so
Yeah.
I'm just gonna call it the Book of Sorrows. She's in the margins of the Book of Sorrows,
There's a lot.
back in the last game, just sort of like
Well,
steering our interpretation of everything, you know?
yeah. Well, Zebuwrath, pardon, being more of a trickster god, or Zebuwrath
It's Zabathun.
is the smash. She's the smash and grab sister.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
She's the Titan of the three, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a tiny little statue next to somebody in their
Ooh.
tower.
Ooh.
And but yeah, I don't know, like that kind of makes I'm hoping eventually I'm hoping that we face each of the sisters. The idea that we wouldn't face Zebuwrath, or not Zebuwrath, Savathun. I keep saying Zebuwrath, I'm so sorry.
No,
The fact that we wouldn't
we're all here with
the
you.
idea that we wouldn't see Savathun in person, and that it would just be like kind of the machinations of the universe kind of deal. That's an interesting concept. I hadn't thought about that
Well,
before.
I definitely think, like, eventually, at least for in-game purposes, if I look at it like from an out-of-game dev standpoint, like I bet we'll probably get to fight her that at some point. But I feel like, and this is me projecting, if I were writing that story, we wouldn't know it was her till we got to the end of it.
Build on that concept,
Well,
what I
like
think would be
maybe the first time we think we're fighting Zebuwrath, it was actually Savathun. And then Zebuwrath is like still on the horizon, and she's bringing her war moons to us.
I could see that too. What I was thinking is I'm thinking like a purely puzzle based raid instead of
Oh, dude,
like
I would
a
be
damage
so
raid.
here for that. I would
That would
be
be more Niobe
so here
Labs.
for
Yeah,
that.
exactly. Yeah, something like
All right,
that.
so I will say this. I will say this. I love puzzles. I hate that most of the community puzzles from this game have been math, because I have dyscalculia, and that's really inaccessible to me. Like, I am here for a limerick, but like, Jesus Christ.
First outbreak prime
Like, yeah,
plus.
I
I
am.
stayed up so late watching that. That was fascinating.
Dude, I am not doing calculus to figure this out, though. Like, I'm just gonna tell you that right now. And I feel like I can call myself a lore theorist at this point. But
I have spreadsheets everywhere, but they only have words in them.
organizing information doesn't mean you're like it's I tell you, like, I'm here for spreadsheets. I'm here for
Yeah.
easily accessible information. But something about, like, all right, like, solve for X. That's Niobe Labs. I'm like, ooh, fuck.
I don't wanna. No, get out of
Yeah,
here. Yeah,
I'm gonna go shoot some thrall till you guys figure this out.
If butterfly equals wave, get me out of here.
Yeah, like, I can't. I was not the person to depend on for this.
Still haven't cleared that. All right, go ahead.
I haven't. I honestly, I haven't either. I never did the.
I got through it. It's hard.
Yeah.
Dan, if you don't know this about the bagels, he has the highest friggin' grimoire score that I've ever seen.
Oh, you're a triumph hunter, are you?
I am a triumph hunter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like to know who I'm dealing with. That's cool.
In more ways than one, he's also a hunter main.
It's true.
He and I are really good friends.
Oh, Groovy, are you a Hunter main?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, we're all Hunter mains right here.
I knew I liked this podcast.
Thank you. I guess this maybe should have been an introductory thing, but what is your, like, your druthers? What is your druthers way to, like, run with your hunter? Like, what subclass do you prefer?
I like middle tree arc strider. I like to fling my rod around.
Mm-hmm.
I like to reflect things back at people.
Mm-hmm.
Lately I've been using like a Warmind build where I'm creating cells all over the place with double skip grenades.
Super
and
cool.
And it's been really fun lately. I've just had a blast doing that. So
I love that. Bagels, I feel like I've played with you enough, but you're such a utility player. I want to ask you what your actual favorite is to play.
I love top tree Arc Strider so much.
Really?
Fire's hand shake on that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. Dodge punch. I feel like I'm half a Titan.
Top tier Arc Strider for me, I've tried to explain this in a couple of ways. Like back when the revelry was happening, and also when gathering laurels recently for the Guardian games, I was like, guys, like you don't even have to dodge. Just if you punch enough dudes, it'll reset. Like just keep punching. just farm them. Like, they're like,
yeah,
I don't.
Spider is the Titan of the class.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%, and I love the way he does the like the kung fu like perpendicular punch as opposed to like the turning punch. Not that it's like less strong. I'm not like talking shit, but it's just like a very great like boom.
Right.
Like reminds me of a Bruce Lee movie.
See, I like Middle Tree Arc Strider because the melee attack on there at least has some range. Like you're scraping arc energy out towards your energy enemy, energy out towards your energy. You're scraping it out towards your enemy, and like just completely decimating them if you hit them, after a couple pot shots. other than that, it's just a really fun class.
The middle tree is my preferred when I play Arc Strider. I'll at least make that call. My preferred class is the Outlaw Gunslinger.
Okay.
I like my trip mine throw a knife. And then now that sticky grenades are back, I got my young Ahamkaras on, and I love my sticky grenades paired with that. And I can't confirm this based on anything other than anecdotal evidence, but I feel like wearing the young Ahamkaras makes your little throwing knife last longer also. Because I'll throw it and like I'm not the greatest in threes, but I'm okay in sixes, and I'll throw it at something, go off, do something else, and then like way later than I expected it to be, my throw knife will kill someone who was trying to run away from somebody else through where I threw it from. And
nice.
It's the greatest feeling when like you're running away from somebody and then you see your throwing knife you threw like however long ago killed somebody. Like, all right,
yeah,
I'm not so useless after all. Like, I've got... but that's a lot of fun. All right, so I'll be the odd one out in the hunter bunch, but we're all great because we know how frabjous our cloaks are. And so no disagreements on that end. All right. So, but back to the theory, I've talked about explaining enough. Bagels, what are your thoughts on this particular episode here?
So I can get behind it, with a little bit of a stretching of the imagination. So I got a little, dive down into particularly the Dynasty questline.
Do it.
Basically, the Dynasty questline is the first time we witness taking, the taking process, however you want to phrase it, the taking heavies in D2. What it seems like is Quaria is slowly learning how to take enemies. What we know from the lore from Toland talking is that Quaria learned how to take by simulating Oryx.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't actually Sabathun herself that is taking enemies. It's Coria that is doing the taking. And at least in theory, Coria is probably controlling the Taken as well. I'm a little less sure about that. It could be Sabathun.
But she's subjugated to Sabathun any way you slice it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Either it's Sabathun controlling Coria, controlling the Taken, or Sabathun directly controlling the Taken. It's a little fuzzy there. I'm just wanting to point that out for completeness sake there.
Yeah.
But regardless, the Dynasty quest end, it looks like Coria is in the process of learning to take. The first step of that quest line is premeditation. And you can see that the Vex are trapped in Taken orbs, but none of them are actually taken in that portion of that quest line. The next step is calculated action, which is the first time you actually see the taking process happen. And so it seems pretty slow yet. And then again in the long play, you see even more there. You see multiple taken Vex actually pop out, and you see the end result of the taking process. So it looks like that whole quest line is thrown in there in order to show you how Coria has actually progressed in her ability to take enemies. Now, this is, we have to take, sorry, I should probably not use take in any other frame of...
we should extrapolate.
Take an asterisk.
out of that, it's a question of whether or not Quarry can take other enemies than Vex at that point. I personally haven't seen Quarry take like Cabal or Fallen or anything like that in any interactions so far. Correct me if I'm wrong. I can't recall any instances of that.
I'm trying to.
I would only add if. All right, so we don't know when Sabathun and or Coria, by way, took control of the Taken. However, Taken have been involved since the vanilla. So I think there could be an argument that she's either able to control, at very least, Cabal Taken, because there have been Cabal Taken involved at every step of the way.
Yeah, we have Shattered Throne. Another one of Sabathun's like get Guardians quick schemes.
Mm-hmm.
has Cabal in there. I know this because I've been trying to solo it lately.
You kind of play the game. I've heard this.
Yeah, I kind of play the game occasionally. I've been known to play the game from time to time. But yeah, she definitely has. There's some phalanxes in there. I got booped off real hard by one of them.
Dude.
So, I don't know, man.
I'm just trying to clarify. I'm not saying that Quarry can't control other Taken that are already
right.
taken.
That already took.
Yeah. Exactly.
They already got.
It's just a question of whether or not she can actually convert additional Taken of the other species. That's I'm just trying to draw that distinction.
That's fair.
I'm just not quite
sure. We haven't
sure
seen that demonstrably.
That. And well, so, yeah.
And
you'd think if you simulated orcs, though,
you would.
And
similarly guess. So,
but yes. They didn't simulate orcs; they simulated Aurash.
Ah, okay.
Well,
so pre worm orcs, or at least like very early pre paracausal orcs, because that's the line it draws is that orcs notices that he's not looking at necessarily himself. And it notes that Aurash is the simulation that's finally presented.
That's pre-Coria being taken.
Is pre-Coria being taken, but my only point is it couldn't simulate a paracausal being. I think Aurash is sort of like maybe like a missing link between the sisters back when they're all thrall and the sisters when they all have their worms fully ingested and they've defeated defeated the other krill Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
when they before the it's like a middling thing, because that's like Aurash isn't Oryx's hive form initially. It's Oryx's first morph.
And
which is something all krill do.
Correct. And that's a good distinction. However, the argument is that post conversion, Coria, because she is at least partially paracausal herself by being taken, is able to simulate paracausal entities.
I mean, that's a stretch. She hasn't been, unless, like, the only way I could see that happening is if there's some connection between what the Nine are doing in the Reckoning and Quaria. Because then she's simulating Shadows of Oryx and other things that she couldn't have taken herself.
So my line of thought here is that in order to take enemies, in order to do that, she has to simulate Oryx. Oryx himself, not Aurash. She had, in order to actually do the conversion process into the Taken.
Otherwise you have incomplete data, yeah?
Exactly. So she wouldn't be able to take if she was simulating Aurash at that point. So it's more of a experiment or a demonstrated aspect that she should be able to simulate Oryx.
I can dig that.
The conversion process.
I can dig that for real. Dan, like, what are your thoughts on the theory? Where are you coming in from?
Like, I like the idea that she's testing us. I like it. I'm trying to figure out how it fits in with the other stuff that she's got going on, because we have the curse and the Dreaming City, which is another, like I said, another one of her Get Guardians quick schemes. We have I can't remember exactly what I was going to say, but
it's no, like, worries.
Yeah. She seems to be like a trickster sort.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen what the pyramid ships are actually.
And we know they're varying sizes.
Yes. Very well, all chips break in the bag.
I love that explanation. I really haven't heard that before. That's wonderful. He's made my day.
I'm gonna trademark it.
Yeah, TM, can we use it for being first source of distribution?
Sure.
Groovy. I'm here for that.
But yeah, so I don't know. I like it as an idea. Then again, I could also see it as like maybe it not being a attack of intent and more an attack on the Vex as opportunity.
I
can take that. Absolutely.
They were passing through and it's just like, oh hey, what do you guys got? What do you guys got in that Hydra? What do you got in that Hydra?
I want some of that Hydra.
I want what's in that Hydra. Give me what's in that Hydra. And like then going after him that way. I could see it more as an opportunity in that specific mission.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just think what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. From everything that we've seen out of her, she's trying to get us. She's already created some sort of like battery, basically, with the Dreaming City.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just farming her own might from out of that.
No, like in the Gloria Stefan album that is the Destiny Universe, she is definitely the rhythm is gonna get you.
Oh my god.
She is.
That is perfect. That's wonderful.
She is definitely the rhythm. Like 100% agreed there.
If she is not voiced by Gloria Estefan,
please,
very mad.
Please, at Bungie, please, please. I'm sure Miss Estefan would be there for it.
What is she doing nowadays?
She is living her best life, I presume.
All right, I'm gonna wiki this while you continue the conversation.
Excellent. I mean, the fact that it's called Savathun's Song, not Savathun's whatever, takes you back to Irrute. Like, she's cultivating a defensive mechanism. Now, is it because of the darkness ship down there? Because we... Dan, full fairness if you haven't listened to all our episodes, but we've talked about the tiny Dorito ship in the center of the moon in a past episode here. And it's like, maybe she's doing it because she knows that's like a conduit to the greater levels of the power that all Hive draw off of.
Okay.
That's just like one example of what it might be. I'm not saying that's what it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the idea that she's developing what I would determine as a defensive song to kill anyone who's within earshot on the moon, again, of all places, I think that goes part and parcel with the activities on Io, where full commentary from the Vanguard involves like she's building an army, she's amassing units, like she's got this like whole plan to assault humanity, or at least our solar system, in whatever capacity she does. Now,
right,
I'll be the first one to say I don't think she's. It doesn't make sense for the Triplet of Secrets of the Hive Sisters to do a direct assault like that. Like, I've amassed this huge army, now fuck you. But, yeah. but I will say, I do think it makes sense for her to set up defensive measures in what now has become the most intriguing destination, in my view, at least in terms of the Hive and the Taken and all that, in D2, which is the moon.
Yeah.
That's sort of where I'm coming from. I think there are... If I were to crank it up to 11, is the point I'm at in the show. I don't know if I'm 100% there based on what's available, but if I were to crank it up to 11 and say, like, how could I make this work, there is not a lot of connective writing that I would need.
Yeah.
To make...
You're Charlie in the board.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, there's not a lot of connective material I would need to make this all like mesh together.
Yeah. Yeah, over here, you see she's got the stuff. she's got the Taken over here, and they're clearly going after something. You got Shanthro, we got the Banner. Oh my God, it's all connecting.
I will say all that being said, I am sincerely interested if either Crota's daughter's brood, like Hash Ladoon, is in contention with Zivareth or working with Zivareth.
Yeah. That's what I was looking at. Or Zivareth or Savathun.
Oh, I'm sorry, Savathun. I did the same thing. Yeah. So don't feel bad.
Dude, I did the same. Yeah, no, I get you.
I was
so many... Like, I wish the names were less in English, like starting with this or J.
I'm trying to look up here, like, because I want to say that Zivareth's brood shows up in the moon stuff in the Red Keep.
In the Red Keep?
Think so?
So those Hive, the Red Hive that are in the moon stuff, are sort of abandoned and influenced by the darkness ship. So they're right. Like Hive that we would have encountered in D1, which would have been previously Crota, that are now being influenced by that ship specifically. Like, they've been reformed.
Okay.
And that's why they're different than Hive than we encounter elsewhere in the solar system.
Gotcha.
That's just my understanding of it. Like, if you've got some shit, like, let's hear it. Like,
I was trying to think of I thought that there were some named enemies in there that were tied to Zivareth, but I could be very wrong.
I'm looking at the Hidden Swarm, looking to see if there's any direct connection.
Yeah.
The wiki doesn't say anything.
Yeah, no worries. I'll clear out any dead space on this fantastic episode.
Zebra Wrath spawn show up in the Dreaming City.
I could be wrong about this. I think that Coria has a simulation of Zebra Wrath as well.
Okay.
So I think if she's able to take additional enemies, I think she can also produce...
Take additional siblings?
Take the spawn of the siblings, essentially.
Gotcha, okay.
As taken.
I think in the whole pyramid scheme that is the Hive / presumably the Darkness, I feel like that all fits. You can take something that's like of this base level or lower. Because they have X amount of paracausal presence. That's why they can't take Guardians, and that's why they can't take like Ascendant Hive.
In the pyramid scheme. See what I did there?
Oh no, dude, like I have a whole post on the economy of the Hive, like from a couple years ago on Destiny Lore, and I think that's one of our like topic choices. But yeah, no, it's
who knew
it's,
Bernie Madoff was in the sword logic.
Dude, no, it's a whole pyramid scheme. Like, because as demonstrated by Oryx, being at the top means you have all the power, and then everyone else is tithed to you, and it's like a subset of tithes like going up. But for that, yeah, no, it's a total pyramid scheme.
It was a link to that article that I found.
I love it. So guys, as sort of I feel like we're at a place that we can start like calling scores.
Okay.
I'll start with our guest, Dan. We have an arbitrary number score that so far has gone as high up as I think like 87.
Okay.
But there is no limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it can be like a +4 or a negative against. I think we've gone on -19 or like
something like that.
Something like that. It is completely arbitrary and bullshit. So you can attribute whatever number value you want to it. But
okay,
what are your thoughts on this theory's plausibility? Score it, please.
If let me use the parlance of this season's Warmind bits, shall I? So, if I were a betting man, I would probably bet encrypted Warmind, like 75 encrypted Warmind bits, that Savathun is in control of everything, and that she did sick those taken on the Vex on purpose, and that it was a targeted threat. I would also then make a side bet with somebody who's just listening and be like, hey, I'll bet 50 that was just, they just stumbled upon him and was like, hey, what's in that hat? Give me what's in that hat. I'll take everything in that hat. Give me your wallet. Give me your wallet. Give me your keys. Now, all right, now the watch. All right, cool.
So Dan, then we stumbled upon him. How many D&D like tabletop rogues have you played?
I have not played D&D at all. Ever.
I was gonna say, like, if and when you do, that's your class, because your instincts are on point.
Thanks. That's just me being streetwise.
Yeah, that's a feat, believe it or not.
Yeah. So, I think, if I were a betting man, okay, yeah, it is a targeted. It would be targeted if all of this is a puppet show, and we're playing to the strings. Then, yeah, but I don't know, man.
So if I'm hearing you right, it's like all the things we think are Savathun aren't actually Savathun, and everything that's attributed to her is like maybe like a form of misdirection. Am I hearing you right there?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, let's say yeah. like that. Maybe we give her too much. I don't want to say we give her too much credit, but maybe we give her too much purpose and in reality, there's a little less conniving, evil, like, planning on her part, and more so, like, this one section of it was just, oh, hey, they got a thing. I want that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Get that thing for me.
I feel like that goes back into, like, the age-old, like, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so, like, when it's not Savathun, like, you were crazy for thinking it was, but when it was, like, of course.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. That's a fun part of the lore, I think, for sure. Bagels, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to put this personally around a 5. My thoughts are, I don't know that Savathun actively told the Taken in the Io region to go ahead and say, hey, go and assault this Vex collective.
Yeah.
So you can grab this this mine core that has data on Rasputin and Anna Bray. I don't know that was necessarily the thought process there. Had now, if the Vex have some oversight and some minor lord, like a feudal lord sort of thing of the Taken, said, hey, those are Vex over there, and said, hey, go get this item for me. Yeah, I can kind of see that a little bit. Now, obviously, that points back to Savathun eventually, because she would want any and all information to be gathered and sent to her. That kind of makes sense to me. I can certainly see that. And we certainly do see Savathun messing around with us in a variety of different ways, be it the murder battery and Duel and Karnu, and then Imbaru just in general via the power book. But yeah, it's there's certainly a possibility of a connection there, but there just hasn't been enough evidence to really point in that direction yet.
I really dig that. I'm kind of picking up what you're putting down right there. For me, I think it's I give it like a 27 plausibility, and that's arbitrary, but I only say it's that, like, if it worked out to where, like, oh, haha, like, I pull back the veil, my name is Savathun, and, like, this is all, like, the tapestry of, like, shit that I did that you thought was bullshit story, but here I am years later. Like, I'd be here for it, because that's fun for me. But I'm also here for there being, like, much smaller manipulations that she could have in it. Like, she didn't cause them to make this choice, but she pushed them in a direction that made that choice advantageous to her.
Yeah.
And so in all the little things that she's doing, like, at that point the arcology might be more a little something that, like, she's not actually trying to absorb or harvest guardians for energy, but she made it so the Vanguard stopped sending people down into that part of the arcology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
I could do that.
Like, for
outside of us.
Well, after that first mission, you're like, well, that's why we can't go down there, because they're just going to make us into these crystals that are made out of grape Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Purple stuff. Yeah, no. Oh, hey, I want to know what's up with that purple drink. but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's there's so many ways when you have someone who's basically a trickster god involved, mm-hmm. that you can spend something. And so I'm here for all of these things being connected, because I'm sure because her name is released, they will be.
Yeah.
And so to go back to, like, what brought us all together here tonight, like, I think that subsequently finding out that Savathun, since Oryk's death, is the one who's in control of the Taken, Savathun manipulating us on other planets with her hive forms, like, shows that she doesn't even need the Taken to make us make moves. I think it's 100% at least plausible that she had her hand in summoning the Taken to stop the Vex, or at least take over their operation in the Road Rage adventure. I don't think I've ever tied it together that, like, what's the word?
Resolutely.
Narratively. Yeah. Thank you, guys. But yeah, that's I think where I was going with this when I was messaging the bagels drunk, however, like 2 months ago.
Right?
Playing it as the heroic adventure, like, the bagels, you don't fucking understand. So, with that, I'm going to close this out here, because this has been a fantastic episode. I don't think I'm going to have to edit much out of at all, because of how great you, Dan, our guest, was, but also how well you meshed with us, the host. Bagels, you got any shout-outs?
Bethune. I want to just say that we have clearly made her stronger by just discussing her in this podcast today.
Oh, God.
Clearly, we've made a grave error, and we should never, we should hide this.
The bagels is recording and reflecting in four dimensions.
Oh, God.
Danfinity, where can our and your fans now find you?
Oh, hi. My name is Danfinity. You can find me on Twitter. Oh, my God. Did I forget how to do this? I forgot how to do this.
I shitted on it at first. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. No, my name is Danfinity. You can find me on Twitch 3 days a week. That's Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 10 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Doing PS4 PBE helps there on Sunday. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danfinity, where the eyes are L's. And I have a podcast called Side Quests that I'm the host of. And I also do I'm one of the co-hosts for the Planet Destiny podcast.
Yay! So, yay! Yeah. I started following you through our mutual friend Mark Iceman1H.
Okay, yeah. He's a
He and us go way back. We were like old like PS4 buddies, like ended up going to like DreamHack together. Like it's been a wild ride. So that's how I got onto you. I'm a big fan of your podcast in particular. That's how I've most consumed your content.
Yeah, well, so for SideQuest, it's like it's a weird combination of a few different things. So like I used to have one called SideQuest Sunday where I would just interview guests. And that nearly killed me. And then I decided to do another podcast called Destiny Digest. And I did that for a while where it was like every day you would at least get 5 minutes of news about the world of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then that nearly killed me. Green Eyed Music Lover helped with that.
Yay!
And,
Shout out to Green.
Yeah. Hi, Green. And Green Eyed Music Lover. And yeah, it was just a really fun time. And that was that podcast lasted 3 months where I was releasing it every day. And I took a little break and was like, okay, what am I going to do here? I like podcasting. I don't want to break my back doing it. How do I combine these two things that I like doing into just one space? And so Side Quests, I interview people sometimes, and the interviews always end with like a 5-minute RPG section, which lately we've been playing AI Dungeon. In the past, there was a character that was created by the first guest, and then that character ran all the way through to the last guest of the season. And I would just make that up on the spot. And then I have the DPS report in the middle after the intro bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually our 7 to 10 minute news section on what's going on in Destiny or Borderlands or anything else FPS related, and then it goes into the interview later on in the show. So usually it's about an hour. I try to keep it about an hour. But
that's where I was actually really struggling, because as Green might tell you, like the bagels and I are recently in these quarantine times that we all find mm-hmm. ourselves in,
yes.
Are actually doing a D20 like tabletop thing.
Yeah.
And so like we're having a blast with it. I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's a private game. But That's where I was like struggling to define. I was like, you talk about like you have the D20 part, and then you have like the defining part. So thank you for defining it yourself.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's a weird animal. It doesn't focus on one thing. It goes kind of everywhere, which side quests really is the best title for it, because it is able to dig into these like little niche areas that aren't necessarily the main overarching thing.
So 100% agree. No, but you have great energy when you're on there, and I really dig how much you like vibe with your guests. You guys really seem to bounce off each other like very well.
Thank you.
As a listener and a fan.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Like 100%. That kind of fueled a lot of, because like I'm not gonna lie, like we had interacted a little bit on Twitter, and then we followed each other, and then I was like, let me check out this dude's stuff, and like that's where I kind of was like, I need to invite this dude on the show.
Well, thanks. It's been fun. Was
like listening to your stuff during my work at home day.
Yeah. Man, so I've been in bands in the past too, and like I've everything that I do kind of points at like make stuff that helps people get through their day. And if the podcast does it, if music does it, if the stream does it, cool, I'm down with it. So
yeah,
thanks so for inviting me on, and thanks for enjoying the show.
Oh, dude, like thank you so much. I really appreciate that that you're here for the people who consume what you're putting out there, as opposed to like whatever opposite effect that might have. That's amazing. So sir, like I guess I'll end it with this. Any shout outs you might have?
Shout outs to current Meta Clan. Shout outs to the 9-man squad we got together last night for the Seraph Towers, and that one blueberry who allowed us in, but he didn't understand a word that we were saying because he was from Portugal. Word up to you.
The Portuguese blueberries are something we all really should hope for in our life, and when we get them, reflect upon how lucky we are.
They didn't kick me to space after I joined, so that was good.
Bagels, any shout-outs you got going for us, brother?
I already got my shout-out. So, your turn.
All right, fine. I'll shout-out. You don't have to shout-out. That's fine. So, my shout-out is to Danfinity and his community and his stream and his podcast, the SideQuest Podcast. Predominantly, my further shout-out is to all the people... much like to Danfinity's motivations that are trying to do everything that they can right now to keep us all in these strange times that we live in entertained, maybe give us a little opportunity to escape. And yeah. I think that's worth its weight in gold. So that's where my shout out goes. With that, I think I'm ready to end it all here, you guys. So all our listeners, till next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.